some of the thoughts that I have had on my mind as of late because of the grave situation that not only of this nation, but the world has found itself in, is a subject of faith. You know, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Well, that's very important, that we diligently seek the Lord. This doesn't mean just a casual glancing at the scriptures during the course of a week. It doesn't mean just coming to church on Sunday mornings, which I'm glad that we have the opportunity to do. But nevertheless, it's walking in the light. Walking in the light 7 days a week. You know, the Bible says over there in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6, where the Lord had given commands to the children of Israel through Moses that they would take the commands of the Lord and apply them to their heart, that they would diligently teach his commands to their children, that when they walked by the way, they would talk about these things, that when they sat in their house, they would talk about these things, that when they laid down at night, they would talk about these things, and then when they would rise up in the morning, they would talk about these things. So that's diligence. That's being diligent. That's being fervent with the Word of God. You know, I have to tell you, friends, and I'm sure that you already know this, but we're living in a time that requires God's children to walk in faith. You know, walk in faith of believing God, believing his promises. David said, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. The book of Proverbs says, keep the heart with all diligence. There's again that word diligent. For out of it are the issues of life. You know, when you're keeping something, you're guarding it. You're watching over it. And that's what we are to do. You know, we're to foster a relationship with our Lord. Fellowship is really the word that I'm looking for. We're to foster that fellowship with the Lord. I mean, we have a relationship to him as being kin to him. We're his children. But he desires a close fellowship with us. You know, when you have close fellowship with somebody, you begin to trust them. You see them in action, and you begin to believe what they say. That's the benefit of having a close fellowship with one another and a close fellowship with the Lord. I mean, I don't think any of us here would just go about trusting complete strangers, you know. We have to know somebody. And I think, really, a lot of the reasons that many Christians struggle with faith is because they really don't know in a practical way the very God who they claim to believe in. Now, that's a hard thing to say, but friends, it's true. It's very true. And as a result of that, they walk according to their perceptions, that is, what they see or what they may hear out in the world, instead of walking according to what and who they know to be true. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
I mean, the Bible tells us over there in the New Testament that we are to walk by faith and not by sight.
Amen.
So therefore, we're not to walk according to what we think we perceive to be true. Now this is applying to the current situation that we're finding ourselves in right now. We're not to walk according to what we think we perceive to be true, but we are to walk and regulate our lives according to who and what we know to be true, as evidenced by God's holy word.
Amen.
I mean, friends, this is the truth, the absolute truth.
Amen.
All 66 books of this Bible right here is true. And I'll tell you something. when it sinks down in your heart and you really know it to be true, there's a joy and a peace that you have that the Bible says passes understanding. And another thing, when you have somebody to fellowship with and share that with, and you are of like mind, what a joy that brings to the blood-bought, born-again child of God. Mm-hmm. Isn't that what the Apostle John said over there in the epistles of John? He has no greater joy than to know that his children are walking in truth. Mm-hmm. What a joy it is to me when I can fellowship with somebody and have a conversation with somebody who absolutely trust the Word of God and who are not walking by the side of this world. You know, the wisdom of this world, the flesh and the devil, present hindrances to you and I as God's children. What does the Bible say about the wisdom of this world? The wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. It was because of the wisdom of this world that the world does not know God. Let that sink down into your minds. It is through the wisdom of this world that the world knows not God. The flesh. The flesh is the very thing that Satan and his demons, they attack us. They attack our flesh, our senses. And they distract us through the many avenues that are in this world. Media being a very big source. And how often does the television get looked at and believed versus right here? You know, when you just casually glance through the Bible during the course of a week, or just come to church on Sunday, and you've not been meditating on God's Word, you've not been in prayer, you've not been in close fellowship with God, that what you know about God really becomes just superficial. I mean, it's just on the surface. And a surface faith is not something that's going to sustain you during times of adversity. You know, adversity is one of the very tools that God uses to build our faith.
Sure.
And you know, when we as Christians go through times of adversity and we put our trust in the Lord to see us through, the adversity that we have overcome through trusting in God, through seeing His gracious hand uphold us, it continues to build our faith. They're like stepping stones. And each adversity may become a little more difficult, but yet, even that be true, our faith is growing. Because we can trust Him with the small things, we eventually learn to be able to trust Him with the larger times of adversity. And the way to do that, I believe, the Scriptures teach us, is to foster a close fellowship with the Lord. Mm-hmm. One thing that comes to my mind, you'll find over there in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 17, you find a very tragic scene whereby the children of Israel are on one mountain and the Philistines, their great enemy, was on another mountain. And they had this great big giant of a man that would come out and he would mock the children of Israel and he would mock the living God. And none of the children of Israel would dare step out and to face this giant. They were scared. They were utterly afraid. And here comes David, who, by the way, was sent by his father to go and check on his brothers who were part of Saul's army. And he heard this Philistine mocking God and the army of God. And he said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that is dare to mock the living God? You know, and he's a young boy. So he says, I'll go and face this giant. And they made fun of him. You're just a little kid. You can't go and face this man. You can read about the story over there in 1 Samuel chapter 17. And here's what he said. He said, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear shall also deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. Mm-hmm. Now that's amazing. Amen. So Saul consented to let him go, and he put on David his armor. And David said, I can't wear these, for I've not proved these. But you see, there's one thing that he had proved, and that was the Lord. You see, all the time that David was out there in the field keeping his father's sheep, he was fostering a fellowship with God. You see? And he had saw the hand of God be proven time and time again. And now he's willing, fearlessly willing, to go out there and to face this giant. And he does. You know the story. How he went to face this giant, he took his sling and his scrip, and he picked up 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and it didn't take but one stone to land right between that giant's eyes in his forehead, and he took off that giant's head. You know, that stone in many ways represents our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He's a stone of stumbling to the world, but he's our rock of ages. He's our rock. He's our firm foundation. And my friends, you and I, more than ever before, need to have our foundation firm. You know, this is why that I believe that we need to be constantly reminded of the gospel. We need to be constantly reminded of the doctrines of grace. We need to constantly be in the house of the Lord and fellowship one another with one another, lifting our voices in praise and singing the songs of Zion and hearing the preaching of the Word of God. And not just on Sunday, mind you, but we need to foster that fellowship with the Lord 7 days a week. Amen. You know, it's very depressing to me to turn on the television or turn on the radio or get on the internet and read the news and hear what all is going on in the world today. And the world would have you to trust in man whose breath is in his nostrils, instead of the living God who has time and time and time and time again delivered his people out of times of adversity. Cursed be the man that trusteth in man and makes flesh his right arm. What did David say? When I am afraid, I will put my trust in thee. Beloved, we need to have the same testimony. We need to have the same attitude as David. David was a fearless warrior, but David, see, had a very close fellowship with the Lord. Now, he stumbled. He was man, and Jesus Christ will always take the preeminence above all. Jesus Christ was the perfect man. He was the God-man, the Son of God in the flesh. But I tell you, David, in my estimation, it's one of the great pictures of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, along with many others in the scriptures. You know, this is why Jesus told Martha over there in Luke chapter 10. When Martha was being so anxious, she was busy serving, and her sister Mary was sitting there at the feet of Jesus. This verse always seems to come up when I have an opportunity to speak. And she was careful, and she was troubled, and she was anxious, and she bid the Lord to please have her sister to help her. And what was Mary doing? She was sitting down at the feet of Jesus, listening to his word. And he says, Martha, Martha, you're careful and you're troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, and what she has shall not be taken from her. What was she doing? She was being fed. She was being nourished by the very words of the Master. And beloved, that's exactly what we do when we get in this book right here. We're being fed by the words of the Master. As I said, adversity is a tool that God uses to cause us to be strong in faith. This is why the Apostle Paul could say, not only so, but we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope that maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Hope that maketh not ashamed. you know, you and I just can't summon up faith. It's not something that we can just summon up just like that. Faith is something given to us by the Spirit of God in the new birth. But faithfulness is a characteristic of that fruit of faith as it's cultured and as it grows. You understand? What are the fruits of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith, temperance. These are the fruits of the Spirit. And beloved, when we're abiding in the Lord, when we're abiding in His Word, we're going to be giving forth, showing forth those characteristics of that fruit. That's why Jesus said, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you abide in me, you're going to bear fruit richly. But if you don't abide in me, and this is to the children of God, you'll be cut off or cast off as a branch that withereth. You know, we don't want to be that, friends. We don't want to be like the children of Israel that came out of Egypt after they saw all the mighty works of God. After God had brought them out of Egypt, and He brought them by way of the Red Sea. And the Bible says, with a blast of His nostrils, the sea parted and congealed on the right hand and on the left hand. And His children that He had chosen and that He had called out of Egypt walked through dry shod. And the armies of Pharaoh came through after them. And the Bible says that the sea came forth again as it was. And the Egyptian army drowned like lead at the bottom of that sea. But no sooner had they got out of there than they come to the foot of Sinai. And Moses goes up onto the top of the mountain to pray and to receive the word of God. The children of Israel began to grumble. They began to murmur. They began to complain. And they caused Aaron, Moses' brother, to make for them a golden calf, a golden idol, so that they could worship. You see, they were not walking by faith. They were walking by sight. They wanted to be able to see something. Let us not be of that sort. And you know how God slew a whole generation of the children of Israel as they walked around in the wilderness for 40 years, and He brought up another generation. The only two out of that original generation ended up going into Canaan's land, Joshua and Caleb. The rest of them were considered an evil and adulterous generation. Matter of fact, the Lord talked about the evil and adulterous generation that was around when He came into this world. He says, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. But no sign shall be given it, except the sign of Jonas, who was in the heart of the earth, belly of the whale for 3 days and three nights. So would the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights. We don't want to be a faithless generation. God, my friends, has given us His Word. He's provided us with something, each one of us. You know, I have several Bibles. And I tell you, the devil's doing all he can to take the Word of God out of our hearts. Yes. You know, it's going to be probably one day, very soon in the near future, I don't know, that it'd be very hard to find a King James Bible. If you're going to read a Bible, read a King James Bible. Be anxious for nothing. God doesn't have problems with finances. The Apostle Paul said, my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches of mercy in Christ. He says to be careful for nothing, but in all things with prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. And the God of peace that passes understanding shall keep your hearts and minds. You see, if we want to be at peace, we need to have that fellowship, that constant fellowship with the Lord. If you have people coming up against you, he says, if God be for us, who can be against us? Amen. Beloved, we serve a God that has not changed. We've changed. The world has changed. But God changes not. You know, as Christians, we are to look to the author and finisher of our faith, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to lay aside the sin that does so easily beset us, as Hebrews 12 says. What is that sin? Well, that chapter 12 follows the great chapter 11 of Hebrews. That is what we call the Hall of Fame of the Faithful. Faithlessness, fearfulness is a sin. We are to lay that aside and any other weight that is hindering us and run the race with patience, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. And I'm here to tell you this morning, he's sitting down at the right hand of the majesty on high today, ever living to make intercession for you and I. And as one preacher said, you don't have to worry about voting him out of office. You don't have to worry about the Lord Jesus Christ being impeached. And you certainly don't have to worry about him ever resigning. He's there. He's the King of Kings and he's the Lord of Lords. And all powers in heaven and earth and under the earth are made subject to him and his name. Amen. I want to encourage you this morning to walk in the light of God's word. I want you to understand that the Lord Jesus Christ suffering on Calvary's tree, he endured the darkness for 3 hours so that you and I could walk in the light. He drank the cup of wrath so that you and I could drink the cup of blessing. That's wonderful. It's wonderful news for you and I to know what he endured so that you and I could be imputed with his righteousness. Be encouraged, friends, as you move forward, as you leave this building today, and as you go to your homes, whatever you're doing during the course of the week, be encouraged to know that the one that you serve, he never sleeps, he never slumbers, his eye is on you. And he that attends every funeral of every sparrow that's ever fallen to the ground, he that knows that every hair on your head is numbered, my friends. He knows your need. He knows all your needs. He loves you. Trust him. Trust him with your whole heart and be encouraged.